title of my talk today is Forgiving for Real. So I'm going to sing my story and tell a little bit about my story and then pull out some ideas and concepts that I think maybe can have some universal application. So the song is called I Forgive You, Dad. I used to wish that I could have a dad like Robert Young. What comfort to feel that father does know best. Or that Ward Cleaver would be my dad. He'd be gentle, he'd be firm. In his arms it would be safe to rest. That was not my story. With all the good and bad, on this day I forgive you, Dad. I used to try to find a greeting card that wasn't filled with lies. I couldn't say you brighten all my days. Couldn't say that I looked up to you, that you taught me right and wrong. That I trusted you to guide me on my way. No, that was not my story. And with all the good and bad, on this day, I forgive you, Dad. I think I was a lightning rod for your anger and your shame. And I believed it really was my fault. There were times you tried to hold it back, but the dam would always break. And bring another furious assault. That was my childhood story, so frightening and so sad. On this day, I forgive you, Dad. Carried bruises with me, and I hurt the ones I loved. I see how it was just that way for you. You didn't know how you could fix it. You had no faith or hope. No way to understand what you could do. And so we lived those years with the little strength we had. On this day, I forgive you, Dad. I'm held by my heavenly Father, who lives deep within my soul. He says, pour out the love I give to you. That will make you There were times you were so proud of me, and we really did have fun. I've memorized when I felt loved and understood. I tell all those jokes you told, and they still make people laugh. There were lovely moments in my childhood, and that too is my story, with all the good and bad. On this day, I forgive you, Dad. It was many, many years ago. I've recovered from the harm. I've learned to feel deep peace and to love the child within. And though the suffering you brought to me cannot be called okay, it's long been time for healing to begin. It's a very human story that many people have. On this day, I forgive you, Dad. I'm held by my heavenly Father, who lives deep within my soul. He says, pour out the love I give to you. That's my own true story, the only one I really have. On this day, I forgive you, Dad. So I didn't have the easiest time in the world to come to a place of forgiveness to my father. My first memory of being beaten by my father was when I was 4 years old. And I spilled some milk, and he took off his belt and left welts all over my body. And as the song says, you know, so that was one part of my father, this kind of rage that he couldn't control, that he couldn't stop. And then the other part was he was funny, he was warm, he was really the parent I got the emotional comfort from. So I had these two experiences with him. And I think in some ways that was even more damaging for me. What I tried to do was to close my heart off, because it felt like if I could be really mad at him, then I wouldn't have to open my heart again to him when he was being sweet, and maybe then it wouldn't hurt so much when he would turn on me. It wasn't the best skill to have learned in this life, I'll tell you. And I really paid a lot of prices for that. And the other price I paid was, it wasn't only physical abuse with my dad. He would say the meanest things. I remember him saying, "Ah, you got the other people fooled, but I know who you really are. You're bad." And I believed that. So, you know, I came into adulthood feeling damaged, feeling bad, feeling unlovable, feeling like there was really something wrong with me. And as much as I was, I referenced, those of you who are young don't probably know what I was referencing, but I was referencing Father Knows Best and Leave It to Beaver. Those shows were actually really painful to me because it was so different from what I experienced. It just reinforced to me, there's something really wrong with you, kid. So I came to adulthood really with a lot to forgive, with a lot of resentment to let go of, and I was clueless. I think I single-handedly financed the psychotherapy industry. And I became a therapist myself as a way to try to understand, and it helped. Don't get me wrong, it helped. But until I found a spiritual component to all of this, it only went skin deep. It didn't go far enough for me. So when 34 years ago, my father was diagnosed with pancreas cancer. So that was in October. From October to the following November, I lived the most difficult time of my life. So Dad was dying. Pancreas cancer is pretty deadly. And after he passed that February, my grandmother died. My ex-husband's, then-husband, he wasn't ex yet, but my then-husband's grandfather died. We were renovating a house that the ceiling in the dining room fell in, and we had to kind of change all the plumbing. I brought in a little kitten in the house for some new hope for life, and it died. And in November that year, one of my very best friends died. 2 weeks after that, my ex-husband asked for a divorce. I was not in good shape. I wasn't in good shape in the marriage itself. You know, I never learned those skills of how to handle my emotions. And so if he wasn't paying attention to me for 15 minutes, I thought the world had ended. And I was not the easiest person to live with, nor was he, but you know, I was not in good shape. I had a friend who was my angel, who took me out for dinner during this time and said, "Deb, here's some books." Give me a pile like this. "You need to read these books. You're not doing well." And among those books were mostly Science of Mind, a little Unity thrown in. And he invited me, if I found the books at all meaningful, I could join him in church. And I did that. And it changed my life. And I'll bet if a lot of us here could tell a similar story. There, the church was a combination of Science of Mind and Unity and AA, and the minister was in recovery. Her name is Valerie Seifert. She wound up coming up here as well and working in Science of Mind Church for a while, and she helped me enormously. What helped me were the way it blended the psychotherapeutic ideas that I already had with spiritual ideas. And maybe the most profound part for me was the teaching helped me to see that maybe I was essentially good. I think that had been so disrupted in me that to have this teaching that said, "The core of you, honey, is fine. You know, you've learned some bad thoughts and ideas that have gotten you off track, but the core of you is fine." And the other thing that it did was it gave me hands-on, concrete ways to direct my thoughts so that I could experience peace and well-being. I hadn't had that before. So, that was, how many years ago was that? Oh my gosh, like 32, 33 years ago. And here I am today. I've been involved with Unity Church for 25 years. And this has been my practice. This has been my journey. This has been my healing. So I thought I'd go over, I think I have 11 steps, just some thoughts and ideas about how to actually practice this forgiveness thing that we talk about. And some of them maybe will resonate with you, maybe some of them won't. I recommend you think of it as a kind of smorgasbord and take what fits for you, and I'll just share with you how these things have worked to help me in my life. One of my favorite quotes, it's on my website, is by James Baldwin, and it says, "Not everything we face can change, but nothing can change unless we face it." That's been a hugely important thing for me, that I'm not one of those people that can kind of pretend it's okay and then it is. That just gets me out of myself. I have to start with what's not okay. I have to face it. And then that helps me find the strength to take care of it. When Casey, my daughter, is here, Casey Berger, when she was little, I would tell her, it's important that you cry, honey, because if you don't cry, those tears get stuck in you and they make you sick. And she was a missionary for that perspective. She would tell everybody that that's how things went. So it's hugely important from my perspective that you face what's not okay, that you let those feelings happen. Let's see, number two. Okay. From AA. Resentment is a poison I take thinking the other person's going to get sick. So really knowing the cost of resentment is very, very important. For me, and I'll be interchanging these concepts as I'm talking, forgiveness and letting go of resentment, pretty much the same thing. Here's one. Accept the past. It's a lovely quote by somebody named Frank Heil. Forgiveness is about an inner change in us. We stop living in the past of the hurtful event and accept that it happened. There's nothing we can do about it. And we see that our lack of forgiveness or resentment is now hurting us more as we hang on to that past event. We keep it going. Jack Kornfield says it this way. Forgiveness is giving up all hope for a better past. Accept the present. You know, I hear people complain so much about so many things. It's too hot. It's too cold. There's not enough to do. There's too much to do. I shouldn't ever have to feel bad is what some of that sounds like to me. So what if we just accepted we're going to like some things. We're not going to like some things. We're going to like how we feel sometimes. We're not going to like how we feel. What if we just accept that? Revolutionary. Related to that is, what if things happen to me and I don't turn them into an identity? Isn't that interesting? So maybe you lose a job. What if you don't become, oh, poor me, I lost a job, what's wrong with me? Or what if we get sick? What if we don't become the sickness? And what if in the course of that, it's this combo, what if I don't complain about it and I don't embrace it so that it becomes me? What if it's just this thing I'm going through? I think if we soften our hold, it loosens and it moves through us. I went to see Sharon Salzberg at a workshop one time, and she said something that really stuck with me. There are things in life that are intrinsically difficult, just intrinsically. We love somebody, we lose them. It's difficult. We get into an accident, we hurt, we get sick, we get hurt. This is intrinsically difficult. Why do you want to add hard stuff onto that? What does that mean? What if I didn't add blame to that? Wouldn't that be revolutionary? What if I just know there are things that happen that are hard without adding stuff on? What if I don't add self-criticism? There are a lot of things that I can release if I don't add stuff on to what's already difficult. Okay, here's one. What if we consider that maybe we're not perceiving things exactly accurately? Have you ever had that experience? What if that person didn't intend any harm to us? What if that person was distracted by his or her own life and wasn't thinking about us at that very moment? Some of the harm that we feel is actually what we're creating. Well, of course, if you look at a past like mine, and I'm sure like a lot of others of you here, we've maybe integrated a sense of ourselves as a victim, as not lovable, as not okay. And another person just sort of walking around doing their thing, doesn't give us the right look or the right something, and we make it that, there you go, you see, there's proof there's something wrong with me. So if we hold that a little loosely, it's interesting that what would happen if we walk around saying, maybe I'm not right about this. Just soften our attachment to our belief that we actually know what's going on. Truth is, we're always only seeing a little piece of anything anyway. And as the Course in Miracles says, let's be determined to see things differently. Boy, does that open up some space in our lives. Another one. Maybe, like I was talking about my former marriage, maybe we've actually been a part of the harm that's been caused us. It's possible, and this isn't always true, I don't feel this way about my childhood. I really think I was the recipient of Dad's insanity. But in other situations, you know, I've participated in creating something that wasn't good. And if I know that, I don't have to be, I have to learn to forgive me, right? But I don't have to be so attached to that other person as a demon. It is true. We look around us, we hear the news, we know something about history. Humans have been capable and continue to be capable of great harm to other people. We're hearing about this a lot lately. It's very painful when we see what humans can do to other people. And the temptation is to respond to that with rage, with terror, with revenge. There are other options. Martin Luther King was once at a march, and some young kids were behind him, kids in their 20s. I call them young kids. Kids in their 20s. And they were, you know, hurling insults and calling names. Martin turned around to them and he said, you know, you're good kids. You started off fine. Why did they teach you to hate? I don't know if that changed the kids, but I think it did something in his consciousness that allowed him to be the presence that he was able to see beyond the appearance and recognize that even these people who do bad things, the core of them is that they're a part of God. We were created with free will. As long as we're created with free will, we're going to be able to make decisions and make choices that hurt people. But if we know that that essential person is made of the same stuff we are, I think we can begin some healing. It's not so simple as to just like, let's kill all the people in the world who do stuff that's bad, because we're not going to survive that either, are we? When we're identified with the loving energy that pulses through all things, we have everything that we need. We can't get stuck in feeling harmed. So in my song I wrote, it was many, many years ago, I've recovered from the harm. I've learned to find deep peace and to love the child within. And though the suffering you brought to me cannot be called okay, it's long been time for healing to begin. And for me, that's a kind of centerpiece. As long as I know I'm not harmed, as long as I'm identified with being a piece of God, being a child of God, nothing can harm me. Yes, I could feel sad. You could do something that would hurt my feelings, but you could do something that would hurt my body. But the core of me is always linked to that precious presence of God that's within all of us. Knowing that changes everything. When we went to that Thich Nhat Hanh workshop, I came out of it with an awareness that has changed my life. Related to my mother, actually, that I grew up with my mother kind of positioning things that it was the kids who were supposed to take care of the adults. Boy, I had a lot of resentment about that. That I was supposed to make her feel good. I was supposed to affirm her. I was supposed to make sure that the adults in the family weren't emotionally distraught. I knew even then that was upside down. It wasn't okay. And I really had a lot of resentment about that. When I went to that workshop, I realized something. I have it to give her now. Now. Not when I was four. I forgive myself for how it was when I was four. I didn't have it to give. But you know, now at my age, I can affirm her. I can love her. I can extend myself to her. I can make sure she's okay. I cannot tell you the difference that that has made in my life with her. Never would you have been able to predict seeing us when I was a kid that we would have the closeness and connection that we do today. And I credit that for my being able to let go of that resentment and come to her with some of what she needed to heal her life. She didn't mean to come to this situation as a emotionally distant, cold, rejecting, mean person. She didn't mean that. That was what was created in her family. And if I can help her with that now, and thank you, God, I've been able to, wow, what a privilege that is. So this is a new paradigm, and I offer it to you. And to really anchor it into ourselves, I have a unison reading I would like for us to do by one of my favorite spiritual teachers of all time, John O'Donohue. Together, please. There is a kindness that dwells deep down in things. It presides everywhere, often in the places we least expect. The world can be harsh and negative, but if we remain generous and patient, kindness inevitably reveals itself. Something deep in the human soul seems to depend on the presence of kindness. Something instinctive in us expects it. And once we sense it, we are able to trust and open ourselves. So I offer that to you for this, the beginning of this Advent season, to walk this planet filled with that kindness, with that openness, with that trust. And let's see, no one's going to do it 100% of the time, but let's see if doing it when you can allows this season to be even more sacred. Thank you so much for being here today. Thank you.